MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. I'm chatting with Viv Govender, Rand Swiss. Viv, appreciate the time. Netflix second quarter results for financial year 2025. Revenue was up 16% year on year. Diluted earnings per share up 47%. Operating margin sitting at 34.1%. Everyone's calling this a strong Q2. They're calling it a knockout. What's your take on the Netflix numbers and the broader picture?
I mean, it's always about the pricing. I mean, the market this year's date has basically rewarded Netflix by over a third. So it's up over 34% for the year, even after this most recent fall. So the market is expecting quite good news, and it's got it. My only question with Netflix and these entertainment franchises has always been, I mean, I remember back in the day, Star Wars came out, and apparently 1% of the total revenue of Star Wars came from the movies. And that is the thing here with Netflix, is that, you know, Disney has the ability to monetize its stuff in ways that, you know, Netflix can't. You know, Moana is going to be earning their money 100 years from now, and kids are still buying those little outfits and whatnot.
Yeah.
You think of Cinderella and stuff, it's still earning money nowadays. Same thing with Amazon. It's basically a add-on to something that makes them even more money elsewhere. Netflix, you know, as a pure entertainment play, look, they managed to execute things on a far better level than Disney. Disney has been self-destructive with own goals with things like Snow White and, you know, a couple other things that they've done, you know, the Buzz Lightyear movie and so on. And even Star Wars, they've kind of damaged a franchise. But the thing with them is that a hit like Stranger Things is worth a lot more to a Disney than it is to a Netflix. Because Disney will make Stranger Things, pay them for the subscription, and then get kids to ride the Stranger Things ride in Disney World and Disney Parks or whatever around the world, and then go and buy the Stranger Things lunchboxes that are going to appear everywhere, as well as the Stranger Things figurines. You know what I mean? And then team up with Lego and make a Stranger Things Lego set. That is what Disney can do.
It's that ability to leverage. And Netflix, I mean, they've got games in their app. I'm not a current subscriber to Netflix, so I don't know what those games are. But that's also part of the trick with it is, you know, I remember when we first started getting streaming, I signed up for everybody. And now I have only one at a time. And when I'm tired of it, I close one, subscribe to the next one. It's also just a click away. And it means they're constantly on that flywheel of having to make content.
My point of view, the only thing that I have to have basically is, you know, the sports one, which is obviously going to be on Netflix, and the kids one, which is going to be Disney.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and they'll watch the same thing 1,000 times, but it's a safeguard, and we can put them in and just be safe with, you know what I mean? Which I don't mind at all. But the thing with Netflix is, look, I mean, the thing that saved them is that they have been better at curating what they're creating. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yes, there's a whole thing about the junk that they create and whatnot. But look at what Disney has done to the Star Wars franchise. I would want it and a bunch. I mean, Andor is good, and I've watched a couple of things myself, but a lot of stuff isn't just junk. And they kind of damage that franchise, you know, maybe fatally. But like I said, it's something that they can revamp in a year's time or 10 years' time. And I don't think you're going to be seeing the same kind of, you know, Squid Games, you know, renewal coming about in 10 years' time and having the same cultural impact that I think Star Wars has had for the last literally 40 years.
Is there also then, because I take your point around Disney, and Disney Plus, as you said, they've had some challenges, some own goals and the like, but Disney as a broader brand has got that leverage impact. Then there's also YouTube. And I saw a stat the other day, which on the TV, so not on our mobile devices and our laptops, on the TV in the US, YouTube is the most watched product. And it's how I watch YouTube. And maybe if you're looking for streaming, you're better off there because they don't pay for that. And Alphabet's perhaps not as expensive, although got maybe its own challenges in the AI space.
Look, I mean, Alphabet, if you look at it, about half of Alphabet's money and maybe 100% of its profitability comes from that little search bar. That doesn't mean, however, that the rest of that business is worth nothing. YouTube, like you said, more views than Netflix and a better business model. Netflix has to put money down to get, you know, Dave Chappelle down or get John Mulaney down, you know, to do a series that doesn't do that great. But Mr. Beast does his own thing. Does his own risk and whatnot. If one day Mr. Beast turns out to be cancelled or just basically runs out of fashion, YouTube will just basically not have to pay him anymore. It'll pay him after he creates the product. So it's a much better business thing. The one thing I do have a question about going forward is with AI coming about, I do think that the people that own the IP, I mean, maybe in the future, you may not want to just go to the shop and all the cinema and watch the latest Star Wars movie, but you might want to watch a Star Wars movie with Superman in there, or with Buzz Lightyear, or the Avengers in there, and then you are going to need the IP licensing, and I think that licensing has become a lot more valuable in the future, where you can create with prompts or whatever. I'm of course talking a few years in the future, but I think that's something that Netflix doesn't have quite the brand around. Yes, they've had Stranger Things, but can you name, besides Stranger Things and Squid Games, a Netflix brand?
I mean, I can, but it's the Orange Is the New Black, and that's 10-15 years old.
Yeah, I mean, there's not exactly something where you're going to be, no. Creating like, fan fiction around it. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. But Disney, there's so many you can go for ages. I mean, Pooh, the Avengers, Star Wars, Buzz Lightyear, that kind of stuff. There's so many things that's going to be like possible to be in the future. I think that's valuable. YouTube, on the other hand, if people become to a point where it's democratized creation, I think that is the one thing that suits YouTube beyond anybody else.
A last question. Back to Netflix, rather. They stopped reporting subscriber numbers and they told the market they were going to do this. And their argument that they're going to be focusing on growth and other drivers and subscriber numbers are no longer as important. And I have to say, I'm like, I mean, I hear what they're saying, but the lack of subscriber numbers makes me at best scratch my head.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're trying a lot of stuff at the moment. The unfortunate thing is if you're going to be selling a fixed price thing, how could you actually basically require some kind of, expansion of the market. Eventually Apple had to have the App Store because, quite frankly, there's only so many iPhones that can be sold in the world. Once you had your iPhone and maybe your iPad, you really don't need much more than that. Mm-hmm. And once you have your subscription to Netflix, you're not going to be able to monetize it beyond that. And that's, again, the advantage that Disney has. Disney can make you basically spend tens of thousands of dollars basically on Moana if you basically get addicted to it, or rather your kids get addicted to it. You know what I mean? With rides and all the kind of thing that comes along with it. You can't do that with Netflix. They have to figure something about that. 100% of the revenue basically comes from subscription services. They are trying to do things like, for instance, advertising and that going forward. But I don't know what the model is going to be once they've kind of saturated themselves. And once they start hitting the people like you who don't want to be just paying for a subscription, forgetting about it, but will rather cycle through the various subscriptions out there.
Yeah. And that's their challenge. And the stock, 51 PE. We'll leave it there. Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the insights. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.